Now, a complete breakdown of University of Tennessee athletics from former UT coach Doug Matthews. This is Big Orange Sunday, presented by Delta Dental, online at deltadentaltn.com.
Welcome into Big Orange Sunday. This is the 20th day of January, moving right along. Well, it was a rocking day yesterday afternoon. Thompson Bowling Arena really moving along. 71-68, great ball game against Alabama that actually ended a little bit differently than a lot of games. Ended with turnovers by both teams in the final 11 seconds. Tennessee now 5-0. That's in the Southeastern Conference, 16-1 overall. And if you just follow the national rankings, and I know many of you do, not something I do all the time, but certainly looking now, Virginia and Michigan both lose yesterday. So maybe, just maybe, Coach Rick Barnstein's will move into the number one slot when the new rankings come out. I don't know that it's all that important. I'm sure it's not all that important to him at this time of year. But at least a good recognition of a team that has come a long way in the last couple of years. And by most people's or analysts analyzing, playing exceptionally well right now, maybe as well as anybody in the country. As you know, Billy the Legend will join us in the next segment. We'll talk Vol basketball, get into the whys and hows. We'll hear a little bit about what Rick Barnes had to say after the game yesterday. Again, that's in the next segment. But first, we're going to look at Big Orange football. A couple of things in particular we'll take a look at today. Number one, the next signing period is February 6th. We got a couple of big recruiting weekends between now and then. Tennessee, somewhere around five or six remaining slots. We had a transfer come in this week. He'll, I guess, take one of those slots. Again, that hasn't been exactly, I don't think, stated by the head football coach. D'Angelo Gibbs, safety from Georgia. You might remember, if you follow recruiting very carefully, he was at one point thought to be leaning towards Tennessee. He's Nigel Warrior's cousin. Ended up going to Georgia. He will have to sit out a year and will have 2 years remaining. Safety, and that is a need. If you look at Tennessee's depth chart, they have juniors and seniors in the safety positions, and so key areas. Secondary is a big area anyway. Again, we'll find out a little bit more about that, I'm sure, at some point that Coach Pruitt will talk about that. T. Martin returning in an official capacity to Tennessee. I'm sure he's been back a couple of times in an unofficial capacity. Will be, well, we don't know exactly what he will be coaching. I'm going to get into that here just a little bit later when we take a look at the Tennessee staff, but really neat to have T back. As any of us, all of us know, the job that he did there as a player has been a highly touted recruiter and coach out on the West Coast for years. Been rumored to be coming back, and good to have him back again. We'll get into exactly what he will probably be doing when he gets back. A couple of other things, and then we'll get into the meat of today's show. Kind of interesting to me. I kind of chuckle because I find it kind of funny. I knew about this when it happened. Was asked not to say anything about it till it became official. But our athletic director, Philip Fulmer, I think got his first, I don't know what the slap on the wrist, whatever happens to you when the Southeastern Conference decides that you did something that you probably should not have been doing. And if you've read about it, it is, I guess if you're going to get the first one, it would probably be having something to do with coaching the offensive line. Coach Fulmer was at practice one day after working out and helped out a little bit with some offensive linemen that probably weren't doing things quite the way that the coaches wanted. Anyway, that is a violation. You can only have your 10 official coaches that actually coach or recruit. Why the rule is in there, I'm sure there's a good rule why it's there. I don't know that it makes a whole lot of sense in some instances that when you have an athletic director or really anybody that's hired by the university to do some things. But anyway, his violation, he was banned from practice for 5 days. I'm sure the staff enjoyed that. The offensive staff enjoyed that in particular. Anyway, very similar rule, very, very minor rule. You have, I think at the same time, Tennessee had several, maybe three, four, five other minor violations. Just real quickly, there's minor violations and major violations. Minor violations happen all the time. You self-report those. Most of the time it goes even unnoticed by the media and other folks. This instance, of course, when you have someone of Philip Stacher hit. But anyway, I found that kind of funny. It was very similar to, you know, there's a rule out there that we got hit for one time when I was coaching in Tennessee. We had one of our coaches who picked up a player in the rain who was walking from Gibbs Hall to a class going to a class across campus. It was raining, and that's a violation. So anyway, we kind of got slapped on the wrist on that. Maybe when I have him on next time, I'll talk about exactly what happened. I hope at least we got some good coaching out of the thing. Anyway, that hit the news and happened about mid-year this year. All right, let's take a look. I want to take a look today at a couple of different things. The staff in particular, the makeup of the staff, and probably what's going to happen. I want to start with this. Now more than ever, I think what happened this past week. Let me kind of paraphrase start this with talking about, you're going to have coaches leaving staffs. Charles Kelly, who is an outstanding secondary coach, when he was hired by Coach Pruitt, he was coming off being a defensive coordinator at Florida State, a top-flight defensive coordinator. I don't think there was any thought in Coach Pruitt's mind that he would be able to keep Coach Kelly very long. The only way you were going to keep Coach Kelly is if you at some point named a defensive coordinator. That's not going to happen for a while. So Coach Kelly's leaving, and with that creates a somewhat of a void there. We still have 10 coaches. I'll get into that here in just a second on probably what's going to happen there. But bottom line is what this really pointed out more to me more than anything was the really importance and key hiring of Jim Chaney. It was even more highlighted with Coach Kelly leaving. Charles Kelly probably looks like going to Alabama as defensive coordinator. He won't be named that down there, but you can almost bet Nick Saban has defensive coordinators who are secondary coaches. I think every secondary defense coordinator he's ever had has been a secondary coach. So Coach Kelly's probably going to go there. It's a great move for him. He was rumored to go, and I think probably had somewhat accepted a job at Maryland. But bottom line, if you get an opportunity to go work at Alabama, go work under Nick Saban, if you want to move up in this business, that's a pretty darn good way of doing it. But, again, it highlights even more the importance of Jim Chaney. And here's why. Coach Pruitt, now more than ever, is going to be the defensive coordinator. Truly the defensive coordinator. Yes, he's the head coach, but if you look over there right now at his staff and what he has over there right now, he's got some very fine coaches, guys he knows very, very well. None of them are secondary coaches. Terry Fair is a young man who is going to be an outstanding secondary coach, in my opinion. Let me kind of build on that a second. I mentioned last week about Chris Winkie and how what a bright future that Coach Pruitt and Coach Fulmer also, for that matter, thinks that he has up there. Terry Fair's in that same category. And from this standpoint, I don't want anybody to misunderstand this. Both these guys played multiple years in pro football. And when you're playing pro football, yes, you're learning, but it's not coaching. And I was fortunate to work with some guys like Frank Emanuel, who came out of pro football. And it takes them a while to kind of adjust from being a player, even at that level, to a coach. Terry Fair is one of those guys. He is a bright young coach who has coached now three, maybe four years, and has a tremendous future, I think, as a secondary coach and probably a coordinator down the line. Bright, really good recruiter, but not there quite yet, I don't think. Now, again, that'll be Coach Pruitt's call on this. But Coach Pruitt now, more than ever, can be the defensive coordinator. He's going to have to be the defensive coordinator. So that's why the Jim Chaney hiring is so key. Here's what you get with Jim Chaney. I didn't have time to build on this as much as I wanted to last week, but again, it's really the important, I want to highlight what this is going to do for this staff. What we have now, and more importantly, what Coach Pruitt has now, and remembering Coach Pruitt is a defensive coach that will spend the great majority of his time on the defensive side of the ball in practice, either coaching it or watching it. Not that he doesn't know what's going on offense, but he wants to get that defense solid, and he's going to handle that defense until he is sure he has that defense. Probably going to take a couple of years, exactly where he wants it, and then I'm sure he's going to turn it over to a defensive coordinator. But with Chaney, he gets this. He gets a solid, proven, and respected coach in that staff room. Jim Chaney is respected by everybody I know in college football. He is proven as both a play caller and a coordinator, and there's a big key and a big difference in those. And he's a solid, solid football coach. You don't have to worry about where Jim Chaney is. Let's talk number one. There's two big differences here. You've heard me mention this before, but it's even more important now. There is a difference between being a coordinator, someone who coordinates a side of the ball, in this instance, the offensive side of the ball, and a play caller. I've been with coordinators who were excellent play callers and not quite as good coordinators. And I've been with coaches, coordinators who were very good coordinators, but maybe not outstanding play callers. There's a big difference. As a coordinator, and especially at a place like Tennessee, where you get to that level, you've heard me say this before, there's no training wheels on coaches at that level. When you get there, you better be able to coach. You're not there to you're there to still learn, but you're also there to contribute. That's what you're brought in for. And a coordinator is so key because you got a lot of different personalities in the staff room now with the expansion of coaches, even more so. You got a lot of testosterone in those staff rooms. You got a lot of coaches going back and forth, sometimes in a very vocal way. So you need somebody in there who is the coordinator, who can listen and push and nudge, because you're not dealing. It's not like going out on the field and coaching a position where you are the boss, where you're telling them what to do. In a staff room like the University of Tennessee has, and all the major universities now, you got personalities in there who are darn good coaches, probably striving to be coordinators themselves at some point. So you need a proven coordinator, and Chaney has that. He brings that experience, and he brings that, again, reputation to be able to do that. That's number one. So you got a quality guy. We got a quality guy in that position. And then secondly, a game day play caller. Chaney is a proven game day play caller. He was brought in by Coach Pruitt because of the style that Coach Pruitt wants to initiate on offense is what Jim Chaney does. Now, he can do a lot of different things. He's been all the way from a pure spread offensive guy to a guy who lines up and runs a football. So it's the great experience. And bringing a guy in like Chaney again, I can't say enough of how important this is going to be for the University of Tennessee. And the last part on that, it really appears to me, and I think most people that know him, Chaney's not somebody, he's not a coach that's looking to be a head coach. All right. He is, I think, very content, very happy to be a coordinator that is running one side of the ball. And I believe we got a guy there now who's going to be there a good long while and help build this program back to where it needs to be. That there was a question when Coach Pruitt put his first staff together. His defensive staff, he knew all of them well. The offensive staff, he did not. Jim Chaney brings him a guy that he knows well, has coached against many, many times, knows his reputation, goes up against him, and brings just a quality guy. So probably said enough on that. Now what's needed now? We're going to need a secondary coach. With Charles Kelly leaving, if you look at this staff right now, we still have 10 coaches, but we have 6 of them on offense and 4 on defense. Not going to remain like that, I'm sure. Exactly what's going to happen is, I don't know, but defensively, here's what Coach Pruitt has right now. He's got Kevin Scherer, the inside linebacker coach. He has Tracy Rocker, the defensive tackle and defensive end coach. He has Chris Rump, who's the outside linebacker coach, and he has Terry Fair, who last year coached kind of the corners and the safeties because we technically had 3 secondary coaches last year when you include Coach Kelly and Coach Pruitt. So we got 4 over there right now, but we really got 5, and we probably got 5.5 because the head football coach is the defensive coordinator. strong guess here on my part. He's going to hire a secondary coach. He has to bring in another secondary coach. He's got three guys up front. He's mentioned several times. He said many times that he thought that Scherer and Rocker and Rump, all three could call plays or call defenses during a ball game. I've heard him say that several times. He's very high on all them. He's very high on Terry Fair. Again, he hasn't said this, but my perception of it is Terry still needs a little seasoning in exactly the style of defense that Coach Pruitt wants to run. Remember, Scherer, Rocker, and Rumpf have run this three-man front and the style of defense that Coach Pruitt's run. They've run it at other places that they've coached, so they know it very well. Hard for me to believe that he will not hire a secondary coach and bring in a secondary coach. What does that mean? That means somebody's got to leave the staff. You got six coaches on offense right now. Chaney ain't going anywhere. Will Friend's not going anywhere. I don't think Brian Niedermeyer is going anywhere unless he gets a better job where he can move up. He's the tight end coach now. Chris Winkie, T. Martin, certainly T. Martin's not going anywhere. I know they don't want Chris Winkie to go anywhere. That leaves David Johnson, the wide receiver coach. Most people think that he would take another job somewhere. We'll see what happens. Don't have to worry about that right now because with Coach Kelly leaving, you got 10 coaches remaining. You can have 10 out on the road recruiting. Recruiting is the number one job that to be done right now. So there probably won't be a change there until one of those guys on that staff, offensive side of the ball, take a job somewhere else. Let's just talk real quickly about what the makeup of this staff is. We know that he's got Chaney as a coordinator and play caller. Check that off. We know that Will Friend's going to be the offensive line coach. And Brian Niedermeyer is going to be the tight end coach. Tight end coach also works with the offensive line and the blocking end of it a good bit. He works with the wide receiver coach and the passing game part of it. I've used this example before. The best I can give you this is David Cutcliffe. When David Cutcliffe came to Tennessee in the early 80s, where he came in working with Phillip, as Phillip was the offensive line coach. David came in from Banks High School in Birmingham, worked with the tight ends and worked a little bit with the tackles. Moved around a little bit in those two positions, ended up coaching running backs, quarterbacks, and, of course, we know the name he made for himself as a coordinator. So that's how things work. You try to work some of the younger people up. Brian Niedermeyer is one of those players. Now, what will be interesting is exactly who's going to coach what. The reason that you haven't heard exactly what T. Martin's going to coach, the reason you haven't heard exactly what Chris Winkie's going to coach is because until the offensive staff gets settled, gets down to five, not that you can't have six, but gets down to five, those probably won't be given. My guess is one of them's going to be probably a wide receiver coach. One of them's going to be a running back coach, and there is a possibility that one of them could be a quarterback coach. Does Jim Chaney want to coach quarterbacks? Does he want to be the quarterback? He's going to, as a coordinator, he's going to coach quarterbacks. As a play caller, he's going to coach quarterbacks. Does he want to be the quarterback coach? Is that part of the job, him coming here? I don't know that. If he wants to be that quarterback coach, he'll be the quarterback coach. But you got two guys there that can definitely do it, Chris Winkie and T. Martin. T has done it. Chris Winkie's done it just a little bit. So I guess the bottom line is it's an extremely positive situation in that area. To have two young coaches, and when I say young, two coaches who are younger, both in their early 40s, that can coach quarterbacks, that can coach wide receivers, that can coach the kicking game, and are excellent recruiters, and both of these guys are, that is a huge plus for this offensive staff. So Coach Pruitt has some, I guess you would call them problems, but they're not problems with a capital P. His problem is finding the right position to put what have been proven to be very good coaches in to help his staff. I don't know if he does things like he did early, and I'm talking about Coach Pruitt, he'll probably wait till after National Signing Day. At some point, and again, I'm just assuming it's going to be David Johnson. I don't know David Johnson. I don't know anybody that knew David Johnson. But my assumption is that he's probably looking for a job somewhere. Maybe he's got one already lined up. Could be wrong on that, and Coach Pruitt may end up keeping all 10 of them. But again, a secondary coach is going to be hired at some point. And when and if that happens, we'll talk to you about it. All right. Going to take a few phone calls for Bill Justice when we come back. We're going to talk basketball on the other side. I didn't get an opportunity to watch the game, but I listened to the post game, a little bit at the end of the game and post game. And some interesting, we got a little clip here we're going to play of Coach Barnes. And I kind of thought this as I heard where this game was going, the way it started and going down to the end. You know, he's been talking about this team not playing up to some standards. Now, that's coach speak in a lot of areas. You know, how can you be 16-1 and 5-0 and not be playing? Well, he hadn't exactly said that, but I don't think he's been real happy with where his defensive, on the defensive end. And he talked about that yesterday. We'll talk with Bill about that when we come back. I'll talk to you before we go to break about Double Dogs. Family-oriented sports bar. Had lunch there with a friend of mine this past week. Great signature food. 30-plus TVs in all locations. No matter when you walk in there, there's some sport on or sports on any of those TVs. You can get them changed anytime you want to, by the way, to the channel you want to watch. It is everything that a family sports bar is supposed to be. They got great food. They got great entertainment. It's an area where you can sit and talk with your friends, your buddies, whatever. Check out their locations at doubledog.biz. There's two of them right here in Nashville, over on Charlotte Pike, and then the one right in Hillsborough Village. Kind of catty corner from the Pancake Pantry, if you know where that is. Great parking in the back, free parking in the back, an hour and a half, no charge. Salads, burgers, sandwiches, pizza. Again, Double Dogs, great place to eat, great place to go, great place to have fun.
What if I told you that 15 minutes on a new fitness technology called Mandu would produce the same strength and fitness results as 6 to 8 hours of lifting weights? EMS, or electrical muscle stimulation, has been popular for years in Europe, and after recent approval from the FDA, it's being offered to Middle Tennesseans. Mandu uses a small electrical current to tighten and strengthen your muscles as you perform a series of flexing and stretching moves. Get all the information on this new exciting technology at Mandu.com. MANDUU.com.
I don't know much about tires other than the fact that I need four of them to drive around. I do, however, know Bruce Rather at Tire World, and when my car needs tires and alignment, an oil change, or a problem diagnosed, Bruce gets a call from me. For 35 plus years, Tire World has been a staple in Rutherford County. They have locations in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, and Chapel Hill. So for most any kind of tires at great prices, go see Bruce at Tire World and look him up at tireworld.us.
Hi, this is Todd Tressler with Tressler & Associates, here to thank everyone who has made our firm a success. We've grown from focusing on real estate to a firm of 18 concentrating on almost every aspect of the law. With deep roots in Middle Tennessee, our firm is committed to securing peace of mind for residents of our area. Because we consider ourselves a family at Tressler, we are fully committed to you and your family no matter what life throws at you. When you need help, visit TresslerAssociates.com. Tressler & Associates, securing your peace of mind.
Middle Tennessee's home for Southeastern sports. Talk about it here. The Sports Station, 104.5 The Zone. News and analysis from Rocky Top. This is Big Horn Sunday, presented by Delta Dental.
Let's bring on Billy the Legend to talk a little Vol basketball. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing well today. I want to go a little bit off subject, then we get to basketball. As the guy who ate up a football scholarship at Tennessee for 4 years, let me put this in here. The place that I work out, I ran into a couple of Tennessee football players there that are working out. Oh, 30 or 40 other great big guys for the combine. And it was Michael Abernathy and Shai Tuttle, who had missed a couple of times. He was in an all-star game. But I asked Michael Abernathy about Coach Pruitt and how he likes things. And both of these guys said they really like him. They like his approach. They like the people they've hired. So a big plus, I think, when two of the better players from this year's team who only got to play with him 1 year, really did have good things to say about him, so I thought that was very positive. The other thing is, I ran into Steve Mears, Coach Mears' son, he and his wife, this week, and I told him I'd give him a shout-out on there. He and his wife still go to all the UT games. They even went to Brooklyn for the away game this year. It was great to reattach with him to be able to talk about my coach and the all-time legend at Tennessee basketball.
Good stuff.
Yep.
Also the athletic director at UT Martin for a while, by the
way. Yes, he was. He was sure was.
Some people forget that.
Yeah.
Bill, 7168, going to listen to a little clip here in a minute. Ryan, if you'd get that ready, please, about Coach Barnes. Let's just kind of hit, though, before we get into the ball game. Let's play this clip because it leads into some things that I wanted to talk to you about one thing we know. Coach Barnes is somewhat like Coach Pruitt, or maybe Coach Pruitt's like Coach Barnes. They often say on their shows, they don't do a lot of coach speak. They often say pretty much exactly what they're thinking. Let's listen to this. It's about a minute clip, and then I want to ask you some questions about it. Go ahead, Ryan.
You know, Alabama's really well coached, and we knew they were going to, Petty, we know he got a chance to get it going. He got a couple guys who can get it going. He got it going. He really did. And they started isolating us, picking on whatever mismatch they thought they had, whether it was back down the post or really trying to work to get guys involved. We went zone one time to try to disrupt the rhythm, and we gave up a baseline drive, and then we're in a total scramble mode to hit another three. But when they came out in the second half and started coming back, I told the coaches, I said, I'm not going to call timeout. I said, we need this. We need this to see how we respond. And then I had to call a timeout because we did respond the way we needed to. And I kept thinking, you got to give Alabama credit. It came down. We were way too impatient on the offensive end. One pass, get inside, tough shots. And again, they're a long athletic team. When we didn't move the ball the way we really should move it, and trying to force some things. And we had a turnover during that stretch, just careless, and the momentum's changed. And as much as I hate to say it, we were fortunate to win this game, but we needed a game like this.
Bill, that last comment, I know you have talked with him about this, and if you've listened to previous post-game shows, he's mentioned these things. Of course, some of them he's mentioned in big wins where they kind of get glossed over, but I bet what he was thinking there, because I've heard so many coaches say this in the past, it's almost nothing's worth a loss, I guess, but it's almost worth a loss, particularly in basketball sometimes, to get your point across that you've been trying to make to your team when they've been winning, but they haven't been improving in some areas.
Yeah, and he has said, we've said this several times, that his mantra is to find your level of how fine you can play and play to that level every day, every practice, every shoot around, every film meeting, and every basketball game. Find your level and play to that every time. Don't fall below that. As that game started yesterday, I could tell from the start I didn't like the way Tennessee was playing. Alabama could not score at all. They were not playing well. They came out cold as ice. Tennessee's up 12 at half, but it should have been 20-plus because they simply did not play up to their expectations. So as the game went on, I made a little note. And by the way, this was beating Alabama in something. It wasn't Neyland Stadium, at least not yet. But it was a win. Alabama beat Tennessee by 28 points last year. So it was a little bit of a payback from the worst loss Tennessee had in a year they tied for the championship. I was watching the game, and I thought, where is the old boxing one defense on John Petty? I mean, the guy got 30, and he was just wearing us out. And then it ended up that Tennessee went into what Coach Barnes calls a no-catch, where the defender denies the ball and does not help off, has no help responsibility. So that's basically a man-to-man, the rest of the guys, that he doesn't help off. It's not a zone, which a boxing one is, but it was a very much a defense that shut him down the last 9 minutes.
Another comment he made, we didn't have it on a clip there, but he was talking about last year, and he talked about the Alabama game down there last year and how they got run out of the gym, and the fact that this year's team is a much better offensive team than last year. I think his words were, we weren't a good offensive team last year, but we were a very good defensive team. This year, he said, we've really improved our offense. And then he also said, but I think we've digressed a good bit on the defensive end. So my guess is probably before Wednesday's game here in Nashville, there'll probably be a few segments of the practice that'll work exclusively on that defensive end.
I wonder, Doug, in your profession and being in football, I think it's a natural thing in basketball when you have seven or eight guys that are capable of getting double-digit scores Your offense is really going strong. Your assist to turnover ratio is great. Your field goal percentage is great. You hit free throws that you tend to think, we can outscore these guys. We don't need to defend as much. You know, we're up 10. We're going to be up 20. Let's don't wear ourselves out on defense. That's a tendency in basketball, I can tell you. It is something mentally that your coach, this coach, anybody that's a good coach is going to work continuously to not have a letdown. The defensive end of the floor is what takes the effort. What's fun is scoring points and shooting the ball and dunking and passing. Defense isn't fun. It's just something that you need to do with all you have.
Well, you know, you think about it, I've heard you talk about this before. A young man goes into the gym to shoot by himself. Not many young men go in without a basketball and just move their feet and play and work on defensive skills. You know, I mean, it's kind of like us golfers like to pull out a driver and hit it as far as we can on a practice tee most of the day, when you don't do very much of that during the game. But no, I think you're right on it. And listen, the other part of this, and this is one of the, it's a great problem to have. There are very few outstanding players. There are some. But there are very few outstanding players or really good players, and it's certainly great players who don't have tremendous egos. Not that they're overbearing with them, but they know they're good. They think they're good. They think they can be. They think they should be getting the ball more in football. You look at what in pro football now, some of the wide receivers, they're not getting the ball enough. Basketball is a little bit different because you play both ends of the ball. But, you know, those are many times those are the things that coaches have to spend more time on is keeping, you know, everybody kind of involved as much as you can in some areas. So anyway, good win. Kind of interesting, Bill, that when I opened the show, I was trying to figure out a way to talk about what. I heard about the last 3, 4, 5 minutes of the ball game was it almost seemed like neither team wanted to win.
Yeah, it was not a well played game. The execution was not good. I could have almost gone on air and done Coach Barnes' post game comments because I knew what he was going to say. He saw the same thing that I did. I mean, they started out poorly. Should have been ahead much more than they were. Lost the lead in the second half, and honestly, that game on the road they lose. So I think the crowd gave them a boost at the end, and they got a couple of big buckets, and they smartened up on the way that they were defending in the second half against John Petty, and came out with a win. A good learning lesson. There is not going to be, and we said this, there's not going to be any off nights in the SEC. Every game is going to be tough. The schedule coming up, they got to bring it. They got to play here in Nashville. Vanderbilt has not been good, home or away. Next Saturday, West Virginia, who just did nothing but beat Kansas yesterday. So the schedule's not going to get easier. It's going to stay tough all year.
We'll come back and talk with Bill about that. As we go to break, let me talk to you about American Home Design. 40-plus years, really doing outstanding work in Middle Tennessee. They're Nashville's number one home improvement company, locally owned, and as I mentioned, operated for over 40 years. Up in Goodlettsville, they cover the whole area, Murfreesboro, Clarksville, Franklin, Spring Hill, Hennersville. If you can hear this show, they'll come to you. And they're looking for quality people to help them get even better. If you would like to talk to them about employment for an outstanding company, it's 615-361-6100. Ask for Anita. I'll give that number out here in just a second. Competitive salaries, along with bonus and incentive potential. You get 3 weeks paid vacation, 9 paid holidays, health insurance benefits, 401k profit sharing, auto allowance in the areas that need that. Again, if you're a quality person looking for a great company to work with in the home improvement industry, outside sales reps, lead generating reps, inside phone sales, installers, many other areas, call 615-361-6100 and ask for Anita.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
When it comes to home field advantage, the two words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the two words to know are Delta Dental. And no is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
Same Mid-South Business Furniture, brand spanking new location to better serve our customers. 1830 Air Lane Drive, Suite 13 is our new home, and right now, great deals with savings of up to 70% on all excess desks, chairs, filing cabinets, etc. Visit us on the web at MidSouthBusinessFurniture.com or stop by 1830 Air Lane Drive, Suite 13, and take advantage of our great deals.
Mid-South Business Furniture, Mid-South Business Furniture, Mid-South Business Furniture.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door, but as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Stover's Liquidation knows this time of the year can stress your budget, but it doesn't have to. Now when you shop Stover's Liquidation's Treasure Hunt, where you can buy big box online returns for $5 on Friday and Saturday, decreasing in price daily till Thursday when it's all just 25 cents per item. And Stover's Liquidation has great deals on flooring, like pre-finished oak cocoa, just $2.29 a square foot, and appliances 50% off what you paid the big box stores. 12966 Old Hickory Boulevard in Antioch. Online anytime at Stover's Liquidation.com. Stovers.
Nothing brings the Titan Special Teams Group together like the 3HL.
This is good for us. I think we get everything out there. Yeah. We can work on this. We can work on our issues.
It's a therapy session.
Yeah. You'll be closer teammates.
Everybody love everybody.
That was good. I thought any issues that we had, we kind of got it on the table.
There's still some things we could square up in the parking lot after this, but that's okay.
Like a hockey fight out there between the three of you.
No. Verbally, not okay. Physically.
I was going to go physically. I was going to let you guys team up against
me. Hear more from Brett Kern, Ryan Succop, and Bo Brinkley. 1045thezone.com. Now, Big Orange Sunday continues with a complete breakdown of Vols basketball from Bill Justice. Presented by Double Dog's family-oriented sports bar at Hillsboro Village and Charlotte Pike.
We're talking with Bill about yesterday's Alabama game up in Thompson Bowling, 71-68. And going to get in, of course, Tennessee comes to Nashville this Wednesday. Kind of looking ahead a little bit. Tennessee 5-0 in the Southeastern Conference. Bill, you look at it. Sometimes games like this, you identify a certainly know in football, but basketball, I'm assuming it's going to be similar. You kind of identify who the players are that the coaches are going to go to, and really, you got down to six players yesterday when you really got down to it. Fulkerson didn't play much. Pons didn't play much. So Williams, Alexander, Bone, Schofield, Turner, Bowden. When it comes time to winning ball games, those five of those guys are going to be in there.
Yeah, and you know the one thing they've got five, basically six guys that are double figure scorers. They've got, you know, 10 guys, 8 guys, 9 guys that play, you know, multiple minutes, double figure minutes. And they've got other guys that they're trying to bring along to be better players. A guy that comes out to me is Derek Walker, who right now doesn't get a lot of minutes, but it looks like they're training him to be able to be more of a contributor if we get on into the year. So I still like the way that they are able to spread the wealth, the way that they can have guys score when Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield maybe are off a little bit. Jordan Bone, Jordan Bowden, Lamonte Turner, those three guards are all guys that can go off for 15 or 20 on you if things are going the right way. All of those guys have a great assist-to-turnover ratio. Tennessee's taking very good care of the ball. The experience level they have, everybody being upper-class players. Tennessee's got a lot of challenges ahead of them, but right now you've got to like them in the Southeastern Conference. And after the weekend, very good possibility they could be ranked number one in the country this week.
Talk about the, you know, a long 18 ball games in the conference play and,
right.
You know, what just this the normal goings and comings in those areas on that. But this was a game, really, you know, I guess maybe you can take Petty out of it. This wasn't a game that where
the offensive scoring from a shooting perspective was not very good on really either side. You know, again, Petty got hot there for a while, but really you look at the stats on this, nobody played particularly well shooting the ball.
Oh, no, and Alabama in particular was very cold at the free throw line. They lost it because they couldn't shoot free throws. You know, I mean, my message to them was we will be in the gym at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning for free throw practice. You know, their free throw misses would have held on and given them a pretty comfortable win if they'd have just made them at the line.
You're always looking for examples as a coach to show your team. I think Admiral Schofield was that yesterday. 4 for 17, had a terrible shooting day, but made up for it in a lot of other areas. He hit all of his free throws, had 11 rebounds, 9 right. defensive, 4 assists, second assists on the team next to Bone. That's what your senior leadership gets for you.
And they have to spread the wealth when a guy like him is not shooting the ball well, but still, in his case, an experienced all-SEC type performer, you just don't want to take the ball out of his hands completely. You got to let him continue to shoot the basketball. And one of the things I know Tennessee tries to do, Alabama prevented it. You got to give their defense some kudos on that. But when either of those two guys, Williams or Schofield, kind of is not shooting well from the outside, you'll see them try to get low and get those over-the-shoulder shots down in close to the basket to get them back on target a little bit. And Alabama took that away from them. They forced him outside.
Talk about, we mentioned Tennessee coming to Vanderbilt. I saw just a little bit of that game yesterday. Vandy having, they talk about getting off to a slow start, made a run there in the middle, and then a very good Mississippi State team, by the way. What are you seeing in this ball game this Wednesday?
Well, I think it's one of those times where Tennessee comes in as a heavy favorite. Vanderbilt is a tough place to play. I hear it's a hard ticket already, going to be a hard sellout. There are enough Tennessee fans in the Middle Tennessee Nashville area to fill the gym if they can get tickets and get in. But I think that, you know, it's always a celebration for the Vanderbilt students to welcome Tennessee in to play anything, and especially at Memorial Coliseum for basketball. So it'll be a good crowd, even though Vanderbilt's results have not been what they want. And I think probably they're going to continue to fight and struggle to try and find some kind of identity and somebody they can go to that can give them wins. It's going to be a tough year for Bryce Drew's team at Vanderbilt, I'm sure. But I think probably this week when Tennessee shows up, it'll be a raucous gym to begin with.
Well, I... You hear from more of them than I do, but I can almost assure you there's going to be a lot of Tennessee people in that. I've got more calls for tickets for Vanderbilt basketball than I ever have on that. But probably going to be a good crowd there, I think.
You know, Doug, it's the same way. I mean, this is Nashville, but it's the same way in Knoxville. I mean, I can't tell you how many text messages and emails and stuff I get from guys I was in school with, fraternity brothers, or teammates. I hear from my teammates all the time, or just regular fans that, you know, have my access to me on this team and how much they love this team. And it just carries over. The Nashville area people for Tennessee are going to want to be in that gym at Memorial Coliseum for this game.
Yeah, well, it's up there now. I know from talking to the athletic department up there. People want tickets to games up there now.
Oh,
they want weekday tickets. You know, weekend tickets are another thing, but that's great. I mean, what 21-6, 21-7, whatever it holds now. So
yeah, well, I got text messages from some of my friends that sitting near me yesterday that said, well, looks like we're going to have to leave for Thompson Bowling about an hour earlier than we used to, because they were in backup traffic trying to get into the gym yesterday.
Bill, real quick, I want to talk a little bit more about the league. We now, what most everybody, I think, is 5 games into the league right now. I got a pretty good idea what it looks like and what Tennessee's schedule is the rest of the way out. But just a few final thoughts on this team. First off, you got a head coach who I think has been to 23 NCAA tournaments. I believe that's the stat I saw. We've heard him now for a couple of years in his post game. You pretty much know where he stands on this. The area, and again, this is the second or third week in a row in his post game comments that he has mentioned. And when I say post game, the ones I listen to are not the press, but the one when he's on with Bob and his show afterwards. But boy, he seemingly continues to talk more about the defensive end. Is that the area right now that has to improve if they're really going to be a true national contender when tournament time gets here?
Oh, no doubt about it. But I also think that, and the reason is there are going to be nights that you're not going to be quite as efficient on offense as you need to be or as you're used to being. And on those nights, your defense has to carry you. The other thing is most basketball coaches, since you've got players that play both ways as opposed to defense and offense in football, but in basketball, since you play both ends of the floor, you constantly have to emphasize how important the defensive end is, because statistically, you don't want to score points and hit foul shots and have a good field goal percentage. The only thing that amps up the crowd on the defensive end, honestly, is the block shot. On the offensive end, they love to hit the three-pointer. They love the dunk. They love the fast break. They love all the offensive ends, and it's what brings the crowd to its feet. The defensive end, there are none of those things. It's just grind, grind, grind. If you make a good shot block, you'll get the crowd on their feet. But otherwise, there's not much reward. It's just all effort.
By the way, Kyle Alexander, from a point standpoint, not spectacular. So you just mentioned five blocks. Tennessee had seven. He had five of them,
And his blocks are spectacular too. If you see some of those, he comes from he's the offside defensive help, usually coming from the other side of the rim and catches it cleanly up in the air. One of the things that he has really brought on in his senior year is his ability to defend under the basket as well as be a rebounder.
We'll talk with Bill about the Southeastern Conference, maybe a little of the West Virginia. Big win for them at home. I think, 2 point right there at the end over Kansas. We know what Kansas is. I'll talk to you about a Mid-10 Ford as we go to break. Mid-10 Ford. Been on this Big Orange Sunday show. I've been doing this show now in some form and some shape for about 26 years. Mid-10 Ford was the first advertiser that came on this show, Bill Boyd. Mr. Boyce no longer with us, but his family is still running Mid-10 Ford. And when you think about trucks, you think about Ford trucks. When you think about Ford trucks, you think about Mid-10 Ford. Great service department, parts department that always has $1 million on there. They keep in inventory. If they can't get your truck fixed that day, they can certainly have it done the next day. There are folks who know exactly what the truck business is all about, because that's what they do, everything from the light trucks all the way up to the heavy trucks. They have a collision repair. They have a where they can paint up to a 65-foot paint booth that they can paint in. But they're great people who do what they say they're going to do. Check them out at mid10trucks.com.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
This is Doug Matthews.
And this is Dave McGinnis.
Did you know Medicare has a co-insurance and deductibles and doesn't cover prescription drugs?
And traditional Medicare doesn't provide dental or vision coverage.
Well, that's why I have my Medicare supplement and Part D plan through Farm Bureau Health Plans.
And why I bought their Dental Vision Silver Plan.
Farm Bureau Health Plans has been serving Tennesseans since 1947.
And because they're right here in Columbia, Tennessee, you've definitely got the home field advantage.
Farm Bureau Health has you covered at fbhealthplans.com.
If your checking account isn't adding to your bottom line, Wilson Bank and Trust has a better option. Our Kasasa accounts aren't just free. They give you rewards you can really use, like a high rate of interest or cash back on your purchases, plus refunds on ATM fees nationwide. And you get it all just for using electronic banking services that you're probably used to anyway. You can even save your cash rewards automatically with a Kasasa Saver account. Visit wilsonbank.com or stop by any office to start enjoying free accounts with great rewards. Wilson Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Coffee cured filet, ribeye, New York strip, steak and biscuits, slow roasted prime rib. At Stony River Steakhouse and Grill, we take dining seriously. Enjoy our daily selection of fresh seafood entrees and choose from our award-winning wine list with over 30 wines by the glass. Savor a culinary experience to remember at Stony River in two Nashville area locations, West End Avenue and Galleria Boulevard in Franklin.
Tony Barnhart talks college football with you every Saturday, presented by Stroud's Barbecue and by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Saturday mornings at 9:15 on 104.5 The Zone. Now, Big Orange Sunday continues with a complete breakdown of Vols basketball from Bill Justice. Presented by Double Dog's family-oriented sports bar at Hillsborough Village and Charlotte Pike.
Bill, a couple of games in particular we'll talk about, and then we'll take a look at the league. Kentucky wins at Auburn. Mississippi State wins at Vandy. Those are two of the teams playing. Well, actually, three of the teams throwing Auburn in there. I think, Kentucky, two-point win there, but was maybe a little bit more in the Cats' favor than the final score. You've said all along some of this comes from history, your history with them, and other comes from this team you've been watching. Kentucky's going to probably be the team for Tennessee to beat at the end of the year.
Yeah, and watching that game yesterday, Auburn led by as much as 17. Auburn came back from 17 down, and Kentucky was able to hang on. Tyler Hero was the guy who won the game for him. He is really a good-looking player. I had not given him enough credit, but he is really a good player and was probably the key guy in making that win come true for them. If you look at the top level yesterday, and these were all games that were on TV, and I sat and watched all of them. Duke wins by 2 over number 4 Virginia. West Virginia beats Kansas by 1. Kentucky beats Auburn by 2. You can't ask for much better basketball than those three games were. Every one of them under 5 points and ranked teams playing each other.
Where do you see the Southeastern Conference right now? And then we'll hit the national picture.
Well, the surprise to me has been LSU. I mean, here's a team that we hadn't heard a whole lot about, hadn't said a whole lot about, and we'll feature them as we get going. It's one of those teams that Tennessee only plays once, and that game is on the road at LSU February 23. Look out, Vols. That's going to be a tough one. If you're still undefeated by then, you better bring it, because this is a team that we haven't talked about much. They're 14-3 and 4-0 in the league, and they're going to be somebody that's going to be a factor in this conference, and we didn't really talk about them much leading into the season.
I want to go back just to one thing I mentioned, and again, I look at this one particular box score, something you've been talking about, the depth of this team. What would you think be the reason why Coach Barnes, only 8 guys played yesterday? Is that anything to point to?
No,
Walker didn't, or at least he wasn't in the box score.
Yeah, no, I think probably, he's got his carved out team, and the rest of these guys are going to have to earn it in practice. And he also, you can tell it by, the perfect example, two of them, Yves Pons and John Fulkerson, are guys who play good minutes, but it's kind of situational. Pons is a great defender. He's a 6'6". Super athlete who can guard all over the floor, and that's his main thing that he does. He's not a good shooter. He's not going to be a good scorer. When he's on the offensive end of the floor and he takes the ball up top, he's almost the same as having Kyle Alexander get the ball. He's kind of hesitant to shoot it because his shot is really not perfect. He needs a shooting instructor to get that elbow a little more in. He has kind of a diagonal spin on the basketball, but he's one of those situational guys. Tennessee's basically got 6 guys, maybe 7, that are going to be get the important minutes, and the other guys are going to get double minutes, but depends on the situation.
I wanted to go back. We weren't able to play the whole clip, but I listened to all of Coach Barnes' comments after the ball game to Bob, and he was talking in there one time about he mentioned and I always kind of wonder what goes through coaches' minds. I've been on the sideline with an outstanding head coach, but in football. But, he's talking about it seemed like his staff wanted him to call a timeout, and he said, nope, I'm going to let these guys, essentially saying they're going to figure it out themselves, or I'm going to leave them out there. He said, and then I finally did call a timeout, and he screwed it up when I came back in. He didn't say it quite like that, but that's what he meant.
And then
the other part of it is he's talking about when he went to the zone, one reason he went to it was to force him to the baseline, I think he said. And then he essentially said Grant Williams screwed up. He didn't go ahead. But bottom line is, he'll call out his starters just like he – probably more so than he calls out the other guys on the team.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these are the guys that, are going to get most of the minutes. They're going to get most of the praise, and so they're going to get most of the complaints. He's good. And he's always coaching these guys up. He knows exactly what they can do. and how they can do it. And I've mentioned to you, you know, when I was traveling with them to Missouri on the flight home, where Grant Williams went up and sat with Coach Barnes, and they worked on the screen all the way home after a game that he had not played well, and he wanted one-on-one coaching for an hour, and he got that. And that's the type of thing that when you have players that are hungry like that, as a coach, it's rewarding.
One thing, and Bert kind of just lightly touched on this, I think it's fair to say that most times, or many times, often maybe, officials will kind of swallow a whistle in the last 15, 20 seconds of a ball game, and you can understand why. Well, that wasn't the case yesterday. Those were two calls, one against Tennessee on a charge and the other on a walk, that many times kind of get overlooked at the end of the ball game. Does that surprise you a little bit?
Well, you know, not when it's a close game like that. You know, you don't want to let somebody get away with something that's too egregious. Sometimes, and it's really funny, you know, you as a player and as a coach, I can tell you that they kind of get a feel for how the game is going to be called early on. And if it looks like they're going to let it be more physical, then that's the way they'll play it. Sometimes the officials have to reel them in a little bit, because if they let them get by with too much early, it gets rougher and rougher, especially underneath the basket with arm bars and all of that. So you're always going to have questions. I love the reaction of the players when fouls are called, particularly the block charge deal underneath. Nobody ever has a foul. But from the reaction of the player who is the foul is called on, nobody has ever fouled anybody.
Well, that starts in the NBA. It works down. I was at a seventh grade basketball game 2 days ago when nobody fouled in that either. So anyway, hey Billy, thanks so much, buddy. I guess I will see you Wednesday at the game, right?
Yeah, I'm planning on going. We need to get plans together on that, and we can do that off air. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and I think it's going to be a good gym.
May stop by Rotiers and have a little something to eat before.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
See you, man. Thank you.
All right, Coach.
Before we get out of here, let me just talk about one thing I wanted to kind of stress a little bit. This is just overall college football. It's kind of highlighted, Lee, and building on what I talked about at Tennessee. I want to stress again. And I can't overstress this, and I think we'll see the fruit of this next year. The hiring of Jim Chaney. I didn't get a chance to talk about it enough last year. The hiring of Jim Chaney is such a key hire for Jeremy Pruitt. I went over some of those things a little bit earlier, but just a couple things to profile. But here today, you know, football changes. It changes by generation sometimes. A lot of things that change college football. If you go back to the 30s, 40s, 50s, and all those things. Let me tell you where we are in today's college football right now. In today's college football, you better have two areas covered. You better have a play caller on offense that can be dynamic, not that they have to throw the ball all over the field. You need a play caller on offense that can win games for you. And defensively, you better have a secondary coach that is your stud, because in all of defensive football now, the secondary is so key. If you're not good back and really good back in the secondary, you're going to have some serious problems. That's why you're seeing, and I believe you will see, Coach Pruitt bring in as experienced a secondary coach. And he had that with Coach Kelly. You look at what Coach Saban does at Alabama. Every one of Saban's defensive coordinators at Alabama have been secondary coaches. Kirby Smart, Pruitt, and now probably Kelly. I don't think he's named him that yet, but he will. So, offensive play caller, secondary. We got an offensive play caller now that is experienced in calling against the very best in the Southeastern Conference. We'll see how that plays out. Thanks to Ryan Albanese and Bill Justice for being part of the show today. Thank you for listening to it. We'll be back next Sunday, 8 o'clock on Big Orange Sunday. Of course, we're brought to you by Delta Dental, and you can catch the podcast up in about 30 minutes at CoachDougMatthews.com.